In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On the wall of my office hangs a copy of an engraving that inspires me. I actually put it out in the narthex, so you can see it on your way out of church today. It's Martin Schongauer's depiction of the temptation of Saint Anthony. The original dates from the 15th century and was greatly admired at the time. Michelangelo, a boy of 13, when he viewed the engraving for the first time, immediately went home and painted a copy of it. Before I describe the picture, I want to give you a little background on Saint Anthony. This is not Saint Anthony of Padua, the saint known for helping people find their car keys. This is the saint known as Saint Anthony the Great, or Saint Anthony of Egypt, or Saint Anthony of the Desert, also known as the father of monasticism. Not because he was the first monk to live in extreme isolation and poverty, but because he was the first to gather his followers into a monastic community, and his life inspired others to do the same. He lived from the middle of the 3rd century to the middle of the 4th, 105 years in all. Remarkable because Anthony ate only bread and water, but he never looked underfed. He always appeared perfectly healthy. And although he lived in extreme isolation from the age of 20 until his death, with a few exceptions, he was so widely known that crowds flocked to him as they had to Jesus. And although illiterate, many learned men sought his counsel. Shortly after Anthony's death, Saint Athanasius of Alexandria wrote a biography of him, which became a bestseller and spread the ideals of monasticism throughout the Christian world, especially during the Middle Ages. In the biography, there's a description of a temptation that Anthony endured, and that is what's depicted in the engraving. Whether this temptation was a vision, a dream, a hallucination, or simply a vivid metaphor for how the temptation felt, we don't know. In the picture, an elderly Anthony with a long beard and flowing robes is suspended in midair. All around him are horrible, beastly demons, bristling with scales and feathers, sharp teeth, curled horns, and grotesque tails. Their long claws pull at Anthony's robes, arms, and hair. Their leathery hands hold gnarled clubs with which they beat him. These demons are straight up nightmare material. But in the middle of all this mayhem, Saint Anthony looks unmoved, neither fearful nor aggressive. He wears an expression of patient endurance that speaks of resilient fortitude and faith. This is a brilliant depiction of temptation for a couple of reasons. First, the tempter always dresses up temptation as something good and helpful. If you really are the Son of God, then surely God would not want you to go hungry. God gave you the power to turn these stones into bread. Why not do it? Just imagine, you could end world hunger. Or why not do something spectacular? Throw yourself off the temple and surely God will catch you. Think of the headlines, the crowds. What better way to get your message out that you are the Son of God? And then, in Jesus' final temptation, the enemy's mask slips, and we see the naked face of evil. For forget your heavenly Father. I will give you all the power on earth if you just fall down and worship me. The engraving exposes the lie that temptations are good and helpful. Temptations aren't solutions to human problems. In fact, they're subhuman, like the demons in the engraving. When I say subhuman, I mean they tempt us to be less than God has created us to be. When Jesus refused to go the way of the tempter, he was embracing the way of the cross. The enticing voices that echoed around his mind were meant to pull him off course. They were meant to stop him from carrying out God's calling to redeem Israel and the world. The other reason this is a brilliant depiction of temptation is the figure of Saint Anthony himself. He is unmoved and unmoving. Like Jesus, he can't be pulled out of position because he too trusts in God. I look at Saint Anthony and think of the words from Luther's hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. What is that little word? I may have told this story before, but it bears repeating. When I was in my early 20s, I suffered a terrible heartbreak that led me back home. And there is no greater wilderness than finding yourself at home in your 20s. I spent about a year so depressed I could barely function. One day, horizontal on the sofa, I felt a kind of heaviness descend on me like a lead blanket. With it came the thought, why don't you end this suffering? Wouldn't you be better off dead? A temptation dressed up as a solution. I took my cue from the story of Jesus's temptation in the wilderness. I sat straight up on that sofa and shouted, no! And the feeling immediately left me, and the thoughts, and they have never returned, thank God. Whether Jesus, Anthony, or us, temptations come to distract us from being who God has called us to be. They try to turn us aside from doing all that God has given us to do. Of course, we all give in to temptations every day, which is why we need to be here. After a week of being beaten and bruised by our own demons, we need to hear we're forgiven. We need to sit with others who also know their need of God. And perhaps most of all, we need to hear God's word, which is good and helpful. So very helpful that even when surrounded by temptations, we can know what is true and just. And by the grace of God, stand like a mighty fortress against all assaults of the enemy. Amen.